And make a, we'll emphasize the second part of the narrative. And it'll be Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8. Once you found your place there, I would encourage you to stand as we give honor to the Word of God and the reading thereof. Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him," that's Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." Heavenly Father, I pray that you be blessed in our midst. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon the preaching of your word, that you would speak to hearts. And I pray that you'd be glorified in and through everything that is said here. Lord, you are worthy. I pray that we would grasp that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Of course, last week we, just by way of review, we went over how Abraham was a friend of God. And the primary reason I believe that he was known as the friend of God is because he was always looking for God. Notice Abraham, he's sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. That's not typically where you're going to sit in the heat of the day. In the heat of the day, you're going to be in the tent. You're going to be in the shaded part. You're not going to be in the tent door where the sun can beat upon you. So why was he in the tent door in the heat of the day? Well, the same reason that when those three men appeared unto him, he knew them to be God, because he was looking for God to show up. And I hope that throughout this week you took time to look for what God might be doing in your heart, what he might be doing in your life. We spoke about how we should look for God in the little things, the things that we could easily attribute to coincidence or just happenstance. But just maybe, God's showing up in a way that would be familiar yet supernatural. I'm thankful that God can show up in any manner he wants to, whether it's in a pillar of fire or whether it's three men in the heat of the day. Notice that these men, they show up, the three of them. There's been a lot of debate. Are they all God, or is it God and two angels? Well, the only reason I would venture to say that this was definitely an appearance of the three persons of the Godhead is we find that in our text. When they said, every time when he talked to them, and they said, and they did. It wasn't he. When he asked in verse 5, "Are you come to your servant?" And they said, "So do as thou hast said." If it was just God and two angels, the angels would not be saying anything. I mean, when God's there, you don't. I mean, how many of you, if somebody comes and asks a question to your boss and you happen to be in the room, you're going to ask. You're going to answer the question. No, you definitely wouldn't do that for God. I mean, yeah, the most high being in the entire universe, the creator of the universe, and his angels would know better than to answer for the Lord. And so we know that this is the Lord speaking, the Lord appearing. in three persons. It's no accident that that happens. Even though Abraham hadn't known, there is no indication that Abraham had seen them in this form before. And yet he recognized them because he was a friend of God. Then he move on to the second part of the narrative, and it's not just that he was looking for God. It's that when God showed up, he didn't treat it as just another friend showing up. See, God was he had a special relationship with Abraham, and it wasn't just because Abraham wanted to have a relationship with him, although that was part of it. God also knew Abraham's heart. We see that in verse number 18 and 19 of this same chapter. We'll go over it in more detail in next week, but it says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." See, he's talking about Abraham here. He said, "The reason I made my covenant with Abraham is because he would be faithful to me. He would be one who I wouldn't have to bring it to pass upon somebody who was like, okay, thanks, and then went off and did their own thing." No, he chose Abraham because Abraham had the kind of heart, and the kind of mind, the kind of life that sought after God. Amen. So Abraham, he seeks God, but not only did he seek after God, he wanted to give God the glory due his name. Amen. When God appeared to him the first time, what did he do? He built an altar and he worshiped God. When God appeared to him in the previous chapter, in verse number 17, to establish his covenant with him, what did we see? And Abraham bowed down and worshiped God. That was always his reaction. Even though he was the friend of God, he never forgot that God is God. He is almighty and worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. Abraham didn't just say that with his words. He didn't just do it with his body language. He showed it through his actions, as we see here. In verses 3 through 8, we see a conversation that God is here. He's shown up. Abraham has been looking for him. He's been seeking after him. And now we have God is here. His presence is known. You would think, and most of us would, I dare say, react the same way. God has answered our prayer in being here. So whether it is out of deference to him, I really don't want to waste his time. I mean, this is God. So I should just get right to the reason for looking for him. God's come now. I'm going to ask him what I want to ask. And then we'll move on. But you notice here, Abraham never asks anything of God. So often when we are looking for God, when we're seeking him, it's because we want something from him. You realize Abraham was looking for God to show up and he didn't even have anything he wanted from him. He was looking for God to show up just so he could have fellowship with him. Just so he could sit at the feet of God. Just so he could serve his Lord. It's unique. That is a rare attitude towards God, especially in this modern culture, modern system of Christianity, where everything is focused on us and our comfort. Well, Abraham, a friend of God, and someone he was the first one to really show us what faith looks like, what a proper relationship with God should be founded upon. Here he is. God has come, and his greatest desire was just a fellowship with God. Even though that's his greatest desire, we see that he still gives God the honor due his name. before he would dare just fellowship and just enjoy the presence of God, which I think all of us should, we should have that desire to enjoy the presence of God. But we cannot forget that God doesn't owe us his presence. That he is God Almighty. And he is deserving of all the honor that we can give him. And so Abraham, when God reveals himself and there he is, and he agrees to stay in fellowship, we see that Abraham, he goes to great lengths to reveal that, to show that God is important to him. He goes and he dresses the calf. He sends Sarah to doing her thing in the kitchen. And then he wisely leaves the kitchen. And then he goes and he says, I'm going to go do the manly stuff. And he butchers a calf. And he gathers butter and milk. These things weren't just lying around. These were things that he had to go and prepare for the Lord. So, well, if he was really expecting God to show up, that would have already been done. Well, you notice he didn't assume that God would just show up. But once God did, he got to work showing how much it meant to him. See, he took time to show that he didn't take the presence of God for granted. He took some time to prepare to properly fellowship with God. He took time to properly enjoy the presence of God. I think of another time when Jesus was with a few of his disciples, or rather those who loved him. He was in the house of Mary and Martha. You say, well, how is this different from here? Because I remember Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha went about kind of doing what Abraham's doing here. But then Jesus said that Mary hath chosen that good part. He said it was better to sit at the feet of Jesus. How is that different from Martha? How is what Abraham doing here different from Martha? See, the difference is Martha, she was much encumbered about many things. She was trying to do the things that were necessary by cultural obligation so that she could then enjoy the fellowship of God. But there's no indication she really was caring about enjoying the fellowship of Jesus. She really wasn't interested in his words. She was interested in, the most popular person in all of Judea is here in my house. And I need to be a proper host. That is every indication that was Martha's heart. Now, if Martha's heart was to the point that I'm going to get all this done because Jesus is here and I want to prepare for him. I want to prepare for having a right kind of fellowship with him. But that wasn't the indication. The indication was the fellowship with Jesus, the meal was done. The dishes could wait. Jesus is here and he's talking. Here, Abraham in advance is saying, okay, God hasn't started talking yet. And if he says, I'm willing to wait, I'm going to make sure that I receive him in a proper way. His heart was to honor God and to properly prepare for meeting with God. You see, the point is different. With Jesus, the point was that the words of Jesus are more important than any social obligation. The words of Jesus are more important than any prestige that would come from being a child of the Most High. The words of Jesus were the most important thing. They were the emphasis in that moment. But here, it's the presence of God that is being focused on. And that I want to properly prepare for the presence of God. I wonder how many people woke up this morning. Remembered, oh, yeah, it's church. We're going to church this morning. Going to hear the word of God. I'm going to be in my place. Who here thought? Now, please don't raise your hand. I just want you to ask yourself this question. I wonder how many of us actually thought about preparing for meeting with God today. I mean, I've been in church my whole life. I'm called into the ministry. And yet there are Sunday mornings when if I asked myself that question, I would be ashamed at the answer. Because it's just something you do. You come to church. It's so easy. And say, well, by my presence, I'm preparing for the presence of God. I'm there for God to speak. Abraham made it clear. He wasn't just there for God to speak. His presence wasn't the only way he prepared for God's presence. He prepared for fellowship with God by going to great lengths to show that he cared about the fact that God would sit to fellowship with him. He acted like he was going to see and spend time with the Most High. He acted like this wasn't just a friend showing up. This is the King of heaven and earth. He's on my doorstep. And I don't take that for granted. And I want to prepare properly for anything he would say or do. He poured all his heart into preparing for his God. See, we know, as Jesus has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In the Old Testament, they were not guaranteed the presence of God. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus has promised us his presence. In the Old Testament, if they got off track, then God's blessed, the hand of blessing and his very presence wasn't a guarantee. You say, we look at 2 Chronicles where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, shall turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, it was a conditional thing. Hear from heaven. That means he's in heaven. He's not there. But if they repented themselves, they said, Lord, we want you back in our lives. We want you to rule in Israel once again. Then would he hear from heaven. Then would he come down. See, his presence wasn't a guarantee. It wasn't guaranteed for Abraham. But Jesus' presence is guaranteed for us. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have called on him to be your Lord, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as his disciple, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. That means his presence is with you at all times. When we come together, Jesus is here. God is here. But are we as willing to prepare for his arrival as Abraham was that day? I think because the presence of God is such a given, we take it for granted. And we forget that even though Jesus is the one who was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he is our constant help in time of need. Even though he's here all the time, because of that, we forget that he's still the God of heaven and that he didn't have to make that promise to be there. But he did, because he wants a relationship with each and one, every one of us. He doesn't want to just do something for us. He doesn't want to just bless us. He wants us to have fellowship with him on a regular basis. Abraham, he didn't just himself go and get prepared. He encouraged others to get prepared. I hope, dads, that throughout the week, you are reminding your kids, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That God is worthy of serving, and that Sunday isn't just it's something that we do because it gets us up in time to get ready for football. You know, that's not what church is. It's not just something on the that we do before what really Sundays are all about. I hope that you are each and every day taking practical steps to let your family know that God is important. And we're not just going to take his presence for granted. I encourage each family. You need to do family devotions. You need to recognize that God's presence is important Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, not just on Sunday. Please don't get me wrong. I am thankful for each and every one of us who came here today to glorify God. But our relationships and our fellowship with God can be so much more if we would have the attitude of Abraham. You say, well, what do you mean? God didn't really even give him anything. Well, we're going to see throughout the rest of this chapter that God opened a new level of fellowship with Abraham because of the way he reacted to God showing up. But before that happens, I see first and foremost that if you truly want God to do something special in your life, because God is still the God of miracles. He still works miracles today. Amen. It's not enough just to look for God to show up. As we talked last week, I mean, it would revolutionize our walk with God if we started looking for him everywhere. But if we prepare for him and stop taking his presence for granted, and if we do that in a way that we are looking for him so that we can fellowship with him, so that we can enjoy his presence, so that we can recognize that I am not worthy that the Almighty God should pay me any attention. And because he has chosen to, I am not going to take it for granted. And I am going to honor him. And I am going to glorify him with everything that I have within me. When he meets with me, I'm not going to take that for granted. I'm not going to act as a spoiled child who has nothing but their father's attention and has access to everything at its beck and call. That's not my attitude. No, I'm going to recognize that although he has adopted me as his child, and I can enjoy the promises of knowing that God will never leave me nor forsake me, and I can know him, and I can know his grace and his love and his peace, even though I can know all that, I will never take for granted that he loved me when I was unlovable. That the only reason I have any relationship whatsoever with God, it's because he chose, when he didn't have to love me. That's what makes me special. Not because I think I'm special, but because God so loved the world. And that included me. See, when God decides to do something special, you know it. You say, well, what special thing did he do for Abraham here? I mean, he just showed up, but no, God did something unique here. And if you read through it, you miss it. But God did something for Abraham and with Abraham here that he has not done since and will not do it until we're all together in heaven. You say, well, what is that? What are you talking about? if you're reading too fast, you miss it. But look, let's look at verse number 8 again. It says, "And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." Do you realize this is the only instance in the entire Bible where God the Father eats physical food? No one else has ever shared a meal with God the Father. Not once. Jesus obviously ate. And Jesus is God. Yes, God the Son has had many. He had many meals when he was here on the earth. This is the only time where God sat down and had a meal, as a man does with his friend. Guess what wouldn't have happened if Abraham hadn't gone and dressed the calf? Guess what wouldn't have happened if Abraham hadn't decided to ask, "Will you sit down and eat with me?" What wouldn't have happened if Abraham hadn't prepared for meeting with God properly? He would have missed out on this once in a infinite lifetime opportunity to sit down and eat with God. I mean, we all hear about it, those charity functions. You get a meal with a celebrity. You've heard of those. Everyone's heard of those auctions that go off. I mean, I read about them, and I just get astounded by the ridiculous amounts of money that people will pay for a 45-minute to an hour obligated meeting over food with someone they're a fan of. I don't get it. But I also do. Because it's true, if I could just have one interaction with someone, it's typically going to be over food. I mean, it's kind of wired in us. Maybe it's a Baptist thing, I don't know. People like to say it's a Baptist thing. I tell you what, if I'm traveling across the country and I'm only in, and there's a brother I haven't seen in a while and I'm only in the area for a few hours, guess what? We're going to go to lunch. Even if it's not lunchtime, we're going to go to a restaurant or at very least a coffee shop. Because we all understand that the best kind of fellowship happens over a meal. Well, the only fellowship that God has ever had, God the Father has ever had over a meal, was with Abraham. It's because he asked. And he prepared. And he put his whole heart into enjoying the presence of God. And God said, "You know what? I don't usually do this. But I'm going to say yes." Remember, there was another instance, I think, of the birth of Samson, or the promise. The angel came. The angel of the Lord came and spoke, said, "Samson will be born." And they said, let us build, we'll prepare a meal for you. And Manoah and his wife, they were both there. And they said, "We'll make a meal." And he says, "Go do what you want to, but I'm not going to eat of it." But they go off and do it anyways. They really wanted to have a meal with this angel of the Lord that was there. And you could say that was, some people believe that was that God the Son. And some that you can't really, it may have just been an angel, but either way, it was a messenger of God. And when that meal was brought to him, he looked at it and it burst into flame. And then he went, the angel ascended in the flame back up to heaven. Didn't eat it. He responded to it like God usually did, to burnt offerings and sacrifices. But here, this time, this place, God chose to eat with Abraham. To sit down and have a meal. Had sweet fellowship with him. Because Abraham showed God with his heart, his mind, and his actions, with every part of his life, he said, "I want to have fellowship with you." So in the end, I guess Abraham did have a request for God. But that request was, "God, I just want to sit at your feet. I want to recognize that you are holy, and you are just, and you are good. And yet here you are talking with me across a meal." That's the kind of heart that Abraham had. It's the kind of fellowship he wanted to have with God. That's all he wanted. And because of that heart, God, he went so much further than Abraham. Abraham didn't even realize the gravity of what was happening. And they did eat. If you truly want to see God do something special in your life, if you want to see a miracle, I know there's people who see miracles everywhere. They take the message last week and take it to a... They see God everywhere. You know, all the time. You go out and, oh, the birds are singing a song. God must have told them to do that just for me. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But there are people who take commonplace things and say, well, this is God doing this specially for me. And I'm thankful when God does those kinds of things. But when God does something truly special, it's going to be something you know. God did this for me. Yes, it's good to go out and thank God for the birds and the trees, even the sun. Yes, but we should be thankful for all those things and recognize that that is God's goodness displayed. But if you truly want to see God do something uniquely special for you, you have to have the heart of Abraham. You have to go to God saying, Lord, I want to see your hand in my life. And I don't want it because I want to feel better. I want it because I want my walk with you. I want everything about me to recognize that you are a holy God. You are the creator of everything. And yet you would spend time with me. You know, some of us here in here are dog people. I had a dog for a little bit. And then, there were a lot of misconceptions I had about this dog. Got a little Jack Russell Terrier in 2017. Because Michelle and I are both pretty laid back. And the winters in Russia could get, you were stuck inside for a long time, long periods of time. So, you know, to mix up the cabin fever and to get us moving a little bit, we decided to get an energetic dog. Because we thought, well, he'll get us out of the house. He'll get us to do some things. Well, he definitely was an energetic dog. Definitely got us up and about to the point where it was, Michelle and I, it was pulling double duty just to make sure things went normal. it was a trying time. There were a lot of extra things that were there. And the other thing that we decided, we said, okay, well, we're going to get a dog. So we want a short-haired dog because I made I had never had a dog before. But I made the mistake of thinking a short-haired dog doesn't shed. But that is not the case. Trust me. You know, it has nothing to do with the length of the hair, whether a dog sheds or not. I found that out after the fact. And so... But there was, even with all of the craziness, I really enjoyed that time. And my sister has that dog. He's down in Vancouver. Every time we go down there, we get a chance to see him. And he was, even though he was, we chose him. This is the third thing that kind of happened. As he was, as we were preparing for, to choose this dog, we had the pick of the litter. And we went to, we grabbed the dog that was interested in us. Like, it was the one who walked towards us and wanted us. All the rest were playing with each other. But this one, it's like he chose us, you know. So we wanted to grab. We didn't realize that's a sign that the dog actually doesn't play well with others and he will get way too attached to you. And he's going to have what's called separation anxiety. It means you can never leave him alone or otherwise the dog will go nuts. Sure enough, it was a long period of time to train that out of him. But in the end, once we had finally trained that out, once we had more or less a good dog that I got to give to my sister, and then she promptly undid all his training, as sisters do, we got him to the point where I started to like this dog. Because he always made me feel good. When I got home, I was number one in the world. Whenever we were together, it was all about me. He didn't care at all for his own, for himself. He didn't care if I was having a bad day, good day. Didn't matter if I was paying attention to him or not. His attention was fully on me. Changes for a little bit when Michelle became number one for a little bit. That was a tough day in our marriage. It really was. But no, I'm kidding. But it was. Whoever he was attached to, that was all he cared about, was being with that person. Being with the one who he loved more than anything. I often think of Arrow, our little dog. He had like kind of angel wings and a pattern on his back, and so we named him Arrow. And I think of him sometimes and how he used to be so obsessed with us to the point it was annoying. And I wonder how often I have that thought about God. I mean, Abraham, he waited at the door of his tent all day for God to show up. I mean, he wanted to see God so much that you could almost say it was annoying. But God wasn't annoyed, because God is only good. But God recognized that. He said, well, what are you comparing us to dogs and God? Yeah, I mean, God is much higher. The comparison is, we are much lower than dogs if we're looking at it objectively. Now God, he loves us. And it's only he that makes us special. But it's clear from Abraham here that God loves it when we put our attention to him. And we can't wait for him to show up. And when he does, we do everything we can to make it last longer. God could have just gone and grabbed, or Abraham could have just gone and grabbed bread. But he did the thing that would take a long time. Because he wanted to spend more time with God. JD will play Chutes and Ladders with us every now and then. And at first he usually just tries to get through it so quick. But if I'm having a busy day, and I agree, I'll sit down. And I'll play a game with him. If he knows it's a busy day, and he knows I'm about to leave, he will play the slowest way possible. And I've started to pick up on it. The reason he does that is because I want this to take longer so I can spend more time with Dad. How many times have I blown through my devotions because I've only got 2-3 minutes? Tell you, it's been far more times than the times I've said, Lord, I'm going to read this chapter again because I want this time with you to last longer. I want your presence to be felt more. There are so many ways that we could show God that we appreciate his presence, and more than appreciate, we long for it. We desire it like nothing else. We could. But you got to have the heart of Abraham. So if we can, let's start doing it. Let's show God that he truly is an amazing God. And that fellowship with him and his presence is the most important thing in our lives. Let's stand to our feet, bow our heads.